the merriest, merriest song of them all. Hey there, it's Amy Guth and Andrea Darlis. We're in for Bill and Wendy today. We're hanging out with you till noon when we turn things over to the business lunch.
Yeah.
We got lots to do today and lots to talk about.
We do. You are fresh from TV. You did You and Me in the Morning today with Jeannie.
Been here all day.
I know. Been here this morning helping out, doing a little CLTV yesterday, but it's all good. This is such a great week to be working and filling in, and it's the holidays.
I know. It's always my favorite because no one's shift is the same.
Right.
Always like the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's. Everybody just kind of does whatever and fills in whatever, and it feels like a fun kind of teamwork project in a way, not to be hokey.
Yeah.
Because we're all just sort of filling in different jobs and doing different stuff, and it's super fun.
With different people too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love working with you. I know you were working with Mark Carman.
Yeah.
You were with a bunch of different folks, and it just sounds fun.
It's all fun.
We're having a good time. We have a really good show for you planned today. We have the Cover Girls coming in a little bit later on in the program. They're going to play some music, some Christmas tunes for us. We're going to talk about regifting and last minute gifts and some fun stuff like that.
Because you know you're doing that. You know you're thinking about it.
How about this morning? You know, not to out anybody, Cochran, but they're all the guys. And it is sort of stereotypical, but they're all online. They're going, what can I get this person? What can I get this person? And that's why we were throwing out things like theater tickets or gift cards you could buy anytime for
anyone. Well, I'll tell the story in greater depth later, but last year, a guy on Christmas Eve at the drugstore turned around with a handful of nail polish and like nail files and stuff and was like, is this a good gift for a woman? And I was like, you need to put that down,
right,
sir. That's not a good path for you.
Right. Yeah, we will definitely get into some of that, too. It's 10:12 in the morning. Thanks for being with us, and happy Christmas Eve morning to you. Today, there's going to be another rally, and I say, I don't want to say a protest, but a march, if you will, to raise awareness for an issue that's really plaguing the city of Chicago and a lot of cities all around the world, that of police brutality. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, another rally, and others are saying, this is great. You know, we need to make our voices heard. So it's a very divisive issue, but one that really needs to be heard and one that needs to be talked about. So we're happy to have in our studio Reverend Gregory Livingston and Daniel Harold, both from the Coalition for a New Chicago. And welcome to our studio, gentlemen.
Whoop,
I'm going to even turn your microphones on and everything. Try that again.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And we spoke with you a little bit earlier this morning, Reverend Livingston. I know today's a very big day for
yes.
you. What is planned for today?
Well, this is civic engagement. These are the citizens saying that things, the way they've been done, we don't want to see them done that way anymore. And, of course, you guys are right here on Michigan Avenue, and this is the Christmas Eve, the magnificent mile, this great shopping dragon, the like. And so we feel that in order to get our point across, in order to get the point of the people across, there has to be some disruption. And that disruption is basically saying it's better to lose a little money than it is to lose almost 500 lives here in Chicago. And we feel that because Rahm Emanuel, we think he's guilty of conspiracy to conceal and defraud, withholding the Laquan McDonald video during the election. He didn't win the general election. It went to a historic runoff. I mean, 13 months for that video, 13 months for the Ron Johnson video. And my friend, Philip Coleman, who was tasered to death, it was 3 years for his. And so, and even while Ron was giving his crocodile tears speech, at that same time, Corporation Counsel was in court suppressing the Chapman video. So you see one thing, you hear one thing, but something else is happening. And with this kind of conduct, this kind of behavior, this pattern, you know, the people of Chicago and people all around the nation and the world are saying, Rahm, you need to go. You need to resign.
You know, what I think is really important to focus on when we're talking about civic engagement like this is kind of the historic piece of protest in Chicago and social change. Because I think because this issue is so divisive and it's not polarizing, there's a lot of different layers to it and a lot of different takes people are grabbing onto. And some people are kind of thinking, but this is, I have the right to go mm-hmm. and shop freely and do that kind of thing. But if we look at it, I mean, not just in Chicago, but in the world, without, you know, you have to create change to make change. And I think it's so important to recognize that and think about all the big things we've done in Chicago, like starting with Haymarket, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's been a bit, and what's interesting about Haymarket, there's some of the same themes from Haymarket that we're still talking about now.
Yes.
We're still talking about police reform and the way that police and community are interacting here. That was 1886,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a conversation that's been going on a long time in Chicago, and it's important to keep that context.
But you know what? what's and I'm glad you have the historical perspective. John F. Kennedy was not a civil rights president when he got in office. His brother, Robert Kennedy, was not a civil rights attorney general when he got in office. Lyndon Baines Johnson was not a civil rights, Voting Rights Act president. He's a Southerner. But it was civic engagement, civil disobedience that showed them and raised their consciousness and said, you know, we cannot allow people to be treated as second-class citizens. You know, and one of the things in terms of police brutality, and this is ideological, is that, you know, in Plato's Republic, he talks about the public guardian, and that's the police. And their job is to maintain the status quo. They don't make laws. They just execute what the law is. And so blacks came to this country not as first-class citizens, but as second-class citizens. So that's a station. That's your class. And so what's so inbred in many police cultures is maintaining that status quo. So people wonder why there's this attack on the black community, because generationally speaking, there's something that is embedded and even inbred in that culture that finds itself repeating over and over. There's 5,000 firemen, for instance, in Chicago, and 2,500 live in one ward. You see, there's a pattern here, and there's a way to explain it, but we have to now deconstruct that, disassemble it, put it back together, and make the playing field level for everybody.
Reverend, what do you say to critics who will say, you know what, why do this today? Why do it Christmas Eve? Is that disrespectful? Why do it on Michigan Avenue? Because, say, the person walking into Crate and Barrel might not be sympathetic to the cause because they have on their mind Christmas shopping, get it done, go home and wrap it, and perhaps, you know, maybe they aren't the right people to target. What would your response to that be?
Well, if we did it on Corliss Avenue on the south side, nobody would pay attention. The reason we do it down here, because this is where the rich and the powerful and the wannabes shop. And, you know, and the thing about it happening on Christmas Eve, what's so important about that is that let's demythologize the birth of Christ. You know, his parents, they were on the run. They were fugitives. I mean, King Herod wanted to kill him. He saw him as a threat to his throne. And then the parents were not even allowed to go into the inn with their other human beings. They had to have the baby in the barn with the animals in a feeding trough, a manger. Chicago was a manger. And now we need schools that are inns. Instead of everything being for the elite, because, you know, our data shows that Mayor Emanuel tends to cater to the elite class. Well, we should have elite schools in every neighborhood. We should have elite police officers in every neighborhood. We should have elite hospitals in every neighborhood. You know, there's a huge life-death gap. If you live in Hyde Park, you live 20 years longer than people that live on the other side of Washington Park. Why is that? You know, and even some of the stats that David Goldberg, who was at Cook County Hospital, he showed the difference in north side and south side, that on the north side, in the target group between 16 and 64, only like one out of, I think, 11 white women would die before the age of 64. One out of nine white men would die before the age of 64. But you come to the south side, it's one out of four black women that died before the age of 64, and one out of two black men that died before the age of 64. And this is something that is able to be discerned because there are all these gaps, healthcare gaps, education gaps, employment gaps. So Christmas says there's hope for a better world, even if there's opposition, because if Christ overcame, so can we.
And really getting at kind of the point of addressing systemic change on a really large scale so that everybody is treated equally. Mm-hmm. You know, what I think is sometimes frustrating when we look at movements within civic engagement, sometimes we see, I think sometimes more young people than not, but I think this spans a lot of different age groups, where if you say, why are you out here today? What's important to you? You kind of get a, I'm part of something, but you know, not really sure of what the clear ask is, what the clear goal is. How do you kind of at the head of this communicate that to everybody involved that day and in each action to make sure that everybody's very clear about the demands of why are we here and what are we doing this for?
Our young people have the emotion, the passion, and the anger. You know, and the anger is necessary because it's really indignation about being treated badly. But some of them have not lived long enough to get the verbiage, if you will, of emotions. And so what we do is that we combine that passion, that emotion with an ideology, with the underpinnings of, look, we're doing this so we can have a war on poverty. We're doing this so we can end homelessness. But here are causes, here are things that prohibit, inhibit, and prevent us from making this happen. So we have to give them the language for their emotions, because the thing, and the reason they emote in that way, because they haven't been hurt enough yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't been betrayed enough yet. And they haven't been disappointed enough yet. The reason you don't see as many older people, because they're tired of saying, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change. But our young folk have not, and I pray they don't, have not had that experience yet. And so they go out there because they believe we can change it. And so, you know, so it's not even about age. It's about the mind, you know. And if you believe that change is possible, you come out here and you make it happen at High Noon.
We had a caller on hold, too. She couldn't hold on, but she wanted to praise you for your efforts and say that it starts with the parents, too. In many ways, you know, my godchildren, when Paris happened, you know, the skyline was red, white, and blue, and they're little, but they said, what does that mean? Why are the lights? So I explained. I thought, well, you have to be ginger with this. You have to be cautious, but you need to explain. And when you start at a young age with your children, you know, explaining them to them, mm-hmm. That you can do this in a peaceful way,
yes.
In an organized way. So that's a good message, too, to parents, involve your children.
Mahatma Gandhi said, become the change that you expect to see in the world. And what we have to teach the children also is there's no such thing as a painless birth, no such thing as an unbloody birth. And I use that purposely and not in terms of what's going to happen out here. But, you know, in order to bring something new into the world, there's pain involved. There's labor involved. And so they have to be taught, too, that, you know, when you try to do things, you're going to experience pain. So what I like to teach my folk is pain management. You're going to have pain, but let us teach you how to manage that pain so it doesn't dominate and dictate your behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, if what hurt you when you were 7 dictates your life at 50, man, you know, that's pretty rough. So, but there is a way to come around that.
And it seems like to kind of use that, you know, no pain, no gain sort of thinking that applies to actions, too.
Yes.
Right. Because it seems like in every time we've seen any kind of social change, it was a small group of people that pushed very far in one direction to bring the rest of the people kind of to the middle, even just to create any sort of change. So what needs to happen for everything planned today for Coalition for New Chicago's goals to be met? What would make you happy today?
You know, this is a nonpartisan piece. This is about humanity. I applaud Senator Mark Kirk for saying that the officers who falsified those reports, they should be fired, and then they should be criminally prosecuted. Now, those reports weren't about somebody stealing paperclips. You're talking about a murder here. You've had, I think, 647 officers that have been complained about, and not one was disciplined. We've had over $500 million. When they talk about losing money here on Michigan Avenue today, and people are going to stay away that will come, not only those that are down here that will leave because of us, but, you know, taxpayers are paying these bills. We're paying the $5 million in hush money. We're paying the $500 million in police misconduct settlements. This is coming from us, and we don't tend to think like that. And so what has to be done is, first of all, we register to vote. Secondly, that we become civically engaged, that you know, we're out here. Our Facebook page is Coalition for a New Chicago. Connect with progressive and positive and proactive persons and groups that are doing things to make a change. And the thing is, the change that we see is just a better world for everybody here in Chicago, North Side, West Side, South Side, East Side, if you live in the lake, you know. But it's for everybody, you know. So it's about coming together, voting together, you know, becoming civically engaged together. When we have a Latino group coming with us, Latino Coalition for Change and others, I mean, it's been incredible. And reporters were asking the Latinos, why are you coming? They said, because the same thing that bothers them, it hurts us, too. We're targeted as well. So when we all start seeing that, you know, that there's a class issue here as well, and that we're all in the same boat, because, you know, just because, you know, you don't like the folk next door and their house catches on fire and you're glad, you better hope the wind doesn't blow. Because that wind is going to blow that fire on your house, too. So it behooves us to take care of each other.
It's a very emotional topic. It's going to happen again today, another rally. I'm not calling it a protest, more of a rally, if you will, today. We're talking to Reverend Gregory Livingston and Daniel Harold, both from the Coalition for a New Chicago. Can you hang out for a few more minutes?
Sure,
I know
can.
You have your protest, but we have a bunch of phone calls.
Sure.
Maybe we can take one or two calls?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be
great.
Back after this. Amy and Andrea in for Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. WGN. Joan Jett. I love this.
I love when rock stars do Christmas songs.
I do too. That's what Shantae and I were saying too. Our awesome producer Shantae, who set all this up for us. I just love this song. Joan Jett rocking out to Pumpa Pum Pum. Little Drummer Boy.
Joan Jett could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb and it'd be awesome.
I know, right?
Ourselves.
Such a rock chick. Anyway, we're talking with the Reverend Gregory Livingston and Daniel Harold, both from Coalition for a New Chicago, about the rally that's going to take place at noon today here on Michigan Avenue. And we're going to take a few quick phone calls here just ahead of the news. Tim is on line one. Morning, Tim.
Hi, Tim. You're on WGN.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
I'm going to preface this by saying I spent a little bit of time as a police officer, not in Chicago.
Okay.
And I understand where the reverend's coming from. It seems like since I've moved home, there have been way too many problems with the Chicago Police Department. But where was the outrage when Tyshawn Lee was killed?
Yeah, we've heard that a lot.
You know, why weren't the protesters, why aren't there 600 or 700 or 1,000 or 10,000 protesters marching through these communities when these young people, and I'm not even talking gangbangers, a 9-year-old kid was executed because his father was supposedly a gangbanger. I didn't see 10,000 people down in that neighborhood protesting that death. And I understand that this kid was shot, and if I was on the jury, this officer's going to jail.
Yeah. All right. Good question, Tim. We'll put you on hold while the Reverend can answer your question.
Tim, I thank you for raising that, and I thank you also for honoring the memory of Tyshawn Lee by bringing that to the fore on this morning. You know, black-on-black crime is such an incredible problem, and one of the sad things that has happened because of this is that there is a numbness in the community when it comes to the damage that we do to each other. And there is an apathy. There is almost a kind of nihilism or just we give up, we give up. And so the difference you see here is that when the Laquan McDonald video was shown, it sparked something in a lot of people because the public guardian, you know, the sworn servant who was supposed to uphold the law and protect and serve us, was seen doing something that was beyond brutal. It was depraved. And the other officers watching, you know, they were all paid and received benefits during that time. So it was really something that was almost what I would call phenomenal that occurred when that video came out. And I believe the reason you don't see the outrage over Tyshawn Lee is because of the numbness in our community. And so we have to start at the top and the bottom, and we hope to be in the middle and making a difference for everybody.
Tim, thank you. That was a great question. Let's get one more in before the news. Henry, you have a question or a comment for Greg and Dan? Yeah.
Yeah, quick comment. I just wanted to say I'm an old white guy who totally supports the movement.
Love you.
Yeah, there you go.
Love that.
Oh, age is in the eye of the beholder, Henry.
That's right.
You're all good. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Thanks,
you know,
Henry.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody. I know a lot of people want to weigh in on this topic, but we appreciate you guys coming in ahead
Thank
of this and kind of explaining a little bit more about, you know, the roots behind all of this. It's not just let's get out here and, you know, yell and scream. There's an important message behind all of this.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having us. And Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah. Happy Ramadan and happy holidays and boom shakalaka.
Merry Christmas. We'll see y'all on Michigan Avenue.
One last thing, though, the last person that just called in, and this is about everybody here in the city of Chicago. It's about having a better city, you know, having a better government to government city. And Rahm Emanuel hasn't done that. So it's time for him to go. So.
And Merry Christmas. And you made a comment, too, a little bit earlier, too, this morning, Reverend, saying that this is not just today or tomorrow. This is going to be ongoing.
This is the beginning of the civic engagement.
There it is.
Very good. Thank you very much.